Welcome, Money Buddies, to this week's episode of Money Talk. This week, we're talking about traveling for free, how to hack, and the great credit card. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming, and let's get talking. I have been on the record before saying that you don't need to travel hack or credit card hack in order to win with money, but I've never had someone on the show to help me deep dive into travel hacking. So today we're going to take a look at that through the lens of what it's like to really travel hack and travel the world for free. Today's Money Buddy is going to help me see the bright side of travel hacking. It's something that I can be a little skittish about and I don't really think is necessary. And while I may not fully change my mind on this episode, I am excited to learn from a professional in this space today. This is going to be a great one. We are going to discuss questions like the pros and cons of travel hacking. What does hacking mean? Is it cheating? Are we doing something illegal to get all these perks? How does someone actually get started in a practical manner with this? I think so often people see these huge and luxurious lifestyles because of travel hacking on Instagram, and those may be faked to look a whole lot fancier than they really are, but travel hacking can be something that a regular everyday person like you and me does, and it's something that you can get started today. I want to tackle that so that if you want to give this a shot, you can. And speaking of traveling, let's talk about how this podcast is traveling. I want to give a quick shout out to listeners in Aurora, Orlando, and we even had one in Lithuania. How awesome is that? Let me know where you're listening from. Send me an email, use the link in the show notes, and let me know. I want to talk real quick about my own experience travel hacking. Recently, my wife and I went to New York City, and our flights to New York City were completely free. You'll hear me talk about in this episode how I should have got the entire trip for free, and I should have contacted today's Money Buddy first, but we were able to get the flights for free. I stayed in a hotel in Portland for FinCon for free. I'm going to Denver in October for free. That's my travel hacking experience. I look for things that I can use points on, and then I find a card to help me get those points. I used to look for those good credit cards that everyone was talking about, and then I would chase those sign-up bonuses. Now I take a much more strategic approach where I say, oh, we have some large expenses coming up. Let's quickly sign up for a credit card, get a quick sign-up bonus, because we already have those expenses planned. I think that can be a great place to get started, and I'm excited for you to hear today's interview because today's Money Buddy is Tim Walker. Tim Walker is the owner of Travel Multiplier, which helps people unlock the secrets of free travel. Tim has earned over 4 million travel rewards points, and their family has traveled the world for free. After mastering travel hacking for himself, Tim started Travel Multiplier to help other people enjoy the freedom of free travel as well. You can check out Tim's information in the show notes. Let's get into this conversation today with today's money talking points. The first one is, what are the benefits of travel hacking? 2, what are the drawbacks of travel hacking? And 3, is travel hacking for everyone? With those money talking points in mind, let's get talking and welcome Tim to the show.
Yeah, Skylar, thanks so much for having me on. Looking forward to a great conversation.
Yeah, this will be a fun one. And let's just start off with that elephant in the room. The word hacking may seem a little weird. Is credit card hacking legal? What does this term really mean?
Yeah, absolutely. This idea of travel hacking through using credit cards, completely legal, ethical, nothing wrong with it. It is not something that is disparaged or discouraged by banks or creditors. When you think about it, all of us have particular life hacks that we use throughout our everyday lives. A hack is simply a particular strategy that makes you more efficient or effective in a particular way. So we've got life hacks in different ways. What I've been able to do is add travel hacking to my repertoire of life hacks and help other people unlock the secrets of free travel through travel hacking.
Yeah, and it is such a fun space to get into once you really figure it out. My wife and I started off way too gung-ho, which is kind of what I want to talk about today, is how people can get into this. We started off, and I describe it as we were chasing the rewards. Instead of identifying ways that we could use the rewards for us, we were overextending ourselves a little bit with chasing sign-up bonuses. And that always leads at the end of that time period, you're like, what am I supposed to spend on? But now we're in a better place where we're using it more towards, hey, we got large expenses coming up. Let's get a credit card to meet that. There's a couple different ways everyone can go about this. Let's start off with a few talking points. And these are points that the audience can take and go have a conversation with a friend, family member, really anyone. What are some of the benefits that you've seen in your life with travel hacking?
I think the great thing about travel hacking is it really opens an entire world of possibilities. I think it was a key shift for me from looking at trips that I would have viewed as like once in a lifetime, or, you know, trips that would be unattainable for years or decades. Now it's just given me, empowered me with the freedom of free travel to be able to look at that and go, this isn't a far off someday trip. This isn't a once in a lifetime trip. This just happens to be the next trip that we get to take for free. It's really awesome to be able to do that.
Yeah, I like that idea. Like, this is just our next trip, because ultimately it doesn't really cost you that much money, or maybe it is completely free and you manage to pull off like the holy grail of travel hacking and part of it's free. But it's even still so rewarding when you come back and say, we only spent how much on that trip? We were just in New York and we timed it well with some sign up bonuses and points and flights and everything. I think we spent a total of $2,500 for an entire week in New York. And nice. we could have went further and used some of those points that we still have accrued to reimburse ourselves for expenses. Ultimately, we'd rather save them for some bigger ticket items in the future. And there's really so many ways you can play this game. I want to caution people a little bit as they're starting to get hyped up into this, thinking about going to New York for free or whatever. What are some of the drawbacks? I know I mentioned maybe you start overextending yourself with sign-up bonuses, but what are the drawbacks you've seen in this space?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think inherently with credit cards, there is a need to build everything off of a wise and responsible foundation. For me, the way that I've engaged it, the way I help other people do it, is really through the lens of financial literacy and wisdom. I think sometimes the hype and the lure of rewards can turn people upside down financially if they're not wise and boundaried in how they engage that. The way I explain it sometimes is there's a reason why credit card companies are so generous with rewards, because they're betting on your financial irresponsibility and lack of restraint. Where travel hacking comes in is really just layering and leveraging credit cards strategically for your everyday expenses. It's not about spending more money than you already spend. It's not about spending money that you don't have and piling up late fees and interest. It really is just looking at, what is the money that I already spend? We all have a choice. How are we going to pay for that? Cash, check, debit, or credit. To be able to leverage credit cards, it works great as long as you guard against the potential drawback of overspending or accruing interest. My encouragement to people is always make sure you pay everything off on time and in full. Really, from the day you sign up for a credit card, log into your account, set it up on auto pay so you never have to wonder or worry whether you're going to miss your payment or not pay your payment in full.
And that key term, on time and in full, is called statement balance. See, every credit card company, it'll call statement balance. And as soon as you get the card, create that auto pay. And I just got a new card for a sign up bonus, and it wouldn't let us set up the auto pay right away. I was like, well, that's kind of tricky. Like, they're almost hoping that you forget about it in a few days when the card shows up in the mail. Wait to activate the card, which seems silly to me, but there's all these little games they're trying to play to just get you to kick the can down the road far enough to miss one payment. Because as soon as that interest payment hits, the credit card rewards aren't worth it. Like you said, they're placing a bet on a 20 to 25% interest rate that they're going to say, hey, do you want this 2 to 3% back? And then you miss it, and now suddenly you're paying them a net, 17 to 22% after the rewards they give you. That's a huge plus in their favor. Anybody would take that investment if you could say, I'll guarantee you 22% rate of return on something. That's why they funnel so much money into this marketing, and that's really the drawback. There's a third money talking point that I want to save for the audience to be able to go talk to with their friends, and that's, is travel hacking for everyone? I think it could be. Tim, I think you'd probably agree that if you're strategic with it, there's certainly an element that everyone can take advantage of. I want the audience to take that question and go discuss it with their family and friends and report back what they learn. But let's kind of kick off right into some of these main questions. How does all this hacking work? What is travel hacking from a beginner's perspective? When we say hacking, what are we hacking?
So you're really hacking rewards and the ability to accrue valuable rewards and to maximize the value of those rewards when you trade them in for free travel. For anybody that's interested in getting into travel hacking, I always recommend the three key steps that you have to take. Step one is determine your travel goals. It starts by figuring out, where do you want to travel? How do you like to travel? What do you want to do? Especially for those of us that are more financially savvy, those of us that, you know, have a keen interest in saving money. I think at times what happens is, oftentimes in order to cut costs, we've cut corners in how we travel, when we travel, where we travel, all of those things. Well, the great thing about travel hacking is you can really dream big. you can look at it and say, where would I travel if money wasn't an obstacle? And when you start thinking that way, then it helps you to be able to dream big and determine your travel goals. There's no one-size-fits-all method for travel hacking. You might be somebody who prefers to travel on a cruise ship. You might be somebody who would prefer a cabin alone at the top of a mountain. You might prefer beaches and beach houses. You might prefer resorts and all-inclusive. You might like to fly. You might prefer to rent cars. However you like to travel, wherever you like to travel, travel hacking can empower you to engage that for free, thanks to your points. Step one is to determine your travel goals. Step two is then to really sign up strategically for the right cards that align with your travel goals. For instance, if you're somebody who hates flying or is terrified of flying, it really wouldn't make a whole lot of sense for you to get a card that's centered around airline miles, because at that point, that's not a preferred method of travel for you. So to be able to look out, where do we want to go? What are our travel goals? And what cards can get us the type of points that align with that? Oftentimes, what I encourage people is, I believe the first and best card for every new travel hacker to get is the Chase Sapphire Preferred card. If you spend $5,000 in your first 3 months, then you'll get a 75,000 point welcome bonus, which is pretty fantastic. Mm-hmm. But what most people miss is, for those that are married or have significant others, they might be used to adding that person on as an authorized user to that new credit card. But right off the bat, you can more than double your points by singularly signing up for that credit card, spending that amount of money on your everyday expenses. Whenever you meet the bonus on that, you refer your spouse or significant other to get the exact same card. You'll get a 15,000 point referral bonus. They'll get a 75,000 point welcome bonus, and you can combine those 175,000 points to be well on your way toward free travel thanks to those points. So that would be step two.
The spouse, like, two-player mode is kind of what it's called, is a super fun thing to do, because that's what my wife and I do. Like I mentioned with that trip we took to New York, we got her a credit card at the beginning when we made the airline reservations to get the couple $1,000s for the spending bonus. And then we got the Chase Sapphire Preferred when it had the 100,000 point bonus earlier in the year.
Well
so
done.
Like, stuff just stacked up really quickly. Like, we still have points sitting in our bank. It doesn't have to be that hard, because like the piece you mentioned about referring your spouse, any credit card links you might click on my website, or Tim's website, or any other creator's website, that's our referral link. And there's always like a little bit of bonus points when people sign up using any sort of links that someone shares. So take advantage of that yourself. That's what we're mentioning there, is refer yourself, refer your friends. I was telling my friends about the 100,000 point bonus and they were considering it. Let's continue to step three.
Yeah, absolutely. Step three is really the make or break step. Step three is to maximize those points for maximum value. For many people, they're used to getting some type of credit card rewards. The average person might get 1-3% back on their everyday spending, and they're used to cashing that out for cash back or gift cards. But where travel hacking comes in as a major boost is that not all points are created equal. Some points are worth significantly more in the redemption value. So I'll give you two examples of ways that my family has done this year. My wife and I live in the northeast corner of America in Pennsylvania. If you're a fan of The Office, we live just south of Scranton, Pennsylvania. It gets pretty cold here in the winter, so we decided we wanted to do a little bit of a tropical escape for our birthdays in March. So we end up going down to Cancun, and we stayed in an all-inclusive resort oceanfront there that retailed for $1,500 a night. We only paid 55,000 points per night to stay there, which meant that our points were worth about 3 cents per point. That's an example of getting really good value, but it gets even better, especially when you do international travel. My wife and I just did a 2-week trip to Europe to celebrate our 10th anniversary. This 2-week trip would have cost us $25,000 cash. We didn't pay a penny for it. We covered the whole thing in points. Flying from Philadelphia to Amsterdam, we flew in lay flat business class seats. The seat folded down into a bed to sleep on the overnight flight. They brought us a 3-course catered meal to eat on that flight. It was incredible. I'd never experienced anything like that. Everyone around us for those seats likely paid $4,100 a piece. We got those $4,100 plane tickets for 55,000 points. meaning our points were worth about 7.5 cents per point. And so it's not just how many points can you earn, but then if you can then maximize the value of those in the redemption, it's like getting a bit of a double multiplier. Mm-hmm. We had gotten a card, for instance, that earned us 10% back on groceries for the first 12 months. So we earned 120,000 points on that card in that first year. Those 120,000 points, on average, we cashed those out for about 3 to 4 cents per point in value for the travel that we did with those points. Meaning that just through what we spent on groceries in the course of a year, we got about $3,600 to $4,800 in free travel just off of one card that we strategically used for our groceries. So when you're able to take that third step and maximize the value of those points for free travel, that's really the difference between casually using points and likely wasting them for minimal value or being able to maximize them for incredible and luxurious travel opportunities.
Wow. Yeah. Forget that we only spent $2,500 on New York. That looks like a weekday's effort for you. Like that whole trip that you just mentioned to Europe, you heard me mention New York and you're like, please, like, listen to this.
No, listen. We've been to New York as well. We stayed Times Square and Broadway. Loved it. There's some incredible places to go in New York City or throughout New York State for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it was a fun trip, but apparently we should have got it for free. We overspent. That's what I'm learning. But I'm sure someone listening, if they aren't aware of how some of this stuff works or that travel partners and transfers and all that sort of stuff that gets you those higher point values, this can seem very intimidating. Like you just mentioned that you have to get a credit card, use it in a specific way, rack up these points, and then find the most optimal way to transfer them. I describe credit card or travel hacking sometimes as like the couponing of the 2020s. You could spend forever finding the perfect coupon strategy. It needs to become like an extreme credit card hackers TV show. I'm sure it could be a thing and people would like it. How can people take this process and not be so intimidated by it and overwhelmed?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a couple things to it. One, I would say take it at your own pace. There's no one size fits all method for travel hacking. Figure out what fits into your lifestyle values, your pace of life, your family season, all of that. The second thing I would say is really maximize enjoyment, not value. Sometimes in the world of optimization and savings, we can get so neurotic about I have to find the best deal. And what we end up doing in that, in our desire to beat everybody else or save money because maybe we don't have a lot of money, I think sometimes we focus only on financial cost and don't weigh the opportunity cost. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest, I have never wanted to save money at the expense of my time. I'm not looking to trade saving money for wasting time. And so for me, it really is the type of thing where I've tried to make this as efficient and simple as possible in my own life. That was my thing where I said, I'm a really busy person. I've got a lot of different things, two little girls at home. My wife and I have a lot going on. We do a lot in our community to love and serve and help people. For me, what I didn't want to do is sacrifice opportunities just to get some nice vacations. I would say in general, the average person might spend 1, maybe 2 hours a month on this. And there are even some really great tools out there that take the legwork out of it, where you don't have to search and do all kinds of different things. Like in a lot of ways, what you're able to do is engage some of the tools that are out there really to save you time so that it can be a quick, easy, smooth process. My recommendation is to work with somebody that can help you navigate a lot of the common mistakes and a lot of the wasted time. I teach people how to do this. I do that. but really, I think working, whether it's with me or you or somebody else who is an experienced travel hacker, really saves you time. It saves you points. So you're not wasting time. You're not wasting points on low quality redemptions. You're not wasting money. And it really saves you from costly mistakes. And so what I've always tried to do, what many people in this industry try to do, is take all of the mastery that we've accumulated. And you know, for me, there's been all kinds of hours of research and study, and I've dove deep down the rabbit hole, not just in a personal sense, but also in a professional sense. What I try to do is save everybody else from that research. I'll take all of the mastery that I've experienced and been educated in and synthesize that and curate it in a way where it's quick, easy, smooth, and broken down into bite-sized steps so you don't feel stressed, overwhelmed, and you're not left wondering or worrying whether you're doing the right thing.
Yeah. And that whole idea that you just mentioned there about build a community around it. There's definitely plenty of Facebook groups or Reddit forums or Discord groups that have people that you can bounce these questions off of, especially if you're just getting started. That's one thing I've learned in this content creation space is ask for help, be willing to pay for it every now and then, and it can really speed up your process. You mentioned you do this as the main way to help people and coach them through it. What are some of those tools that come to your mind right away that someone could check out or do a little bit of research about if they want to get started with this?
Yeah, absolutely. You could easily do a search on Facebook groups. Travel hacking, award travel, points and miles would be the three different ways that people describe the same thing. Some people call it travel hacking like I do. Other people call it award travel. Other people just talk about points and miles communities. All three of them do and say the same things. Mm-hmm. So you can search in Facebook communities like you mentioned on Reddit. There's some really good communities out there. There's some really good tools. One of my favorite tools, well, two of my favorite tools. I'll give you one for flights and one for hotels. My favorite for flights is a tool called Point.me. Point.me is a really simple tool. It looks and feels a lot like Google Flights. You tell it where you're traveling from, where you're going, you put in your dates, and then it shows you all the flight times and point costs and how to transfer your points to those particular airlines to book those flights. So that's a really good tool. That's a paid tool that you could use. There's a free tool that's really good on the hotel front. It's called rooms.aero, A-E-R-O. Rooms.aero is a free search tool that you can use to find hotels, suites, resorts, and figure out what the point cost is for those and what type of point value you're getting from those. That's a really good free tool as well. Again, very similar to most travel search engines, but it does all of the legwork for you in the points world and puts the results right at your fingertips for free, which is great.
Yeah, those are the tools that I used for that trip to New York. It can be tricky to know how to transfer the points. Oftentimes with that whole two-player strategy with you and your spouse, you can transfer the points from one spouse's account to the other to get that bigger number that you need. That's very easy to do. Often you just call them, they connect the accounts, or sometimes you can even just do it online. So there's a lot of ways you can move these points around, and all these guides and stuff are very helpful. There's lots of YouTube creators in the space. Are there any myths that you commonly get asked or questions that you're like, yeah, that's just not the case? What are some of the big myths around travel hacking or using our credit cards like this?
Yeah, absolutely. There's kind of a subset in the financial community, follows a popular guy named Dave Ramsey that talks about bad credit cards are. and so some people, you know, would believe the myth that like credit cards are bad, you know, they're not worth the risk, all of those types of things. And you know, I appreciate some of the things that Dave Ramsey says. I understand why he's saying it, given that he's helped so many people unbury from credit card debt. That makes sense within context of where he's coming from. But in general, I think sometimes there's a myth that credit cards are bad. They're really not. It's really about whether or not you handle those responsibly and, you know, pay them off like we were talking about earlier. The second thing I find that there are a lot of financially savvy people that have worked hard to build and maintain good credit scores. And so there's often a myth that, hey, I don't want to sign up for a new credit card because that's going to, you know, wreck or impact or ruin the good credit score that I've worked really hard to maintain. Well, that's actually a myth. Signing up for new credit cards might cause your credit score to dip by 10 to 15 points maximum, usually. But then within 2 to 3 months, your credit score hasn't just rebounded, it's actually grown. So for me, when I started travel hacking, my credit score was somewhere around 750. Like I was in the excellent range, comfortably in the excellent range, had built and maintained that for a long time. Now, since I've gotten into travel hacking, my credit score is actually over 800 now. So it has not negatively impacted my credit score. It's actually positively grown it, which is great. There's a number of different factors if you ever want to deep dive that. I think a third one is people worry like, okay, so am I going to have to sign up for a million credit cards? What do you do in order to get a free trip? Do you go and cycle through 10 credit cards per trip? No, you don't. The reality is that quality matters more than quantity. So it's not about signing up for a flurry of credit cards. You can take it at your own pace, but it's really learning how to earn the most valuable points and to redeem those points for maximum value so that you're not taking your account down to zero every time you go on a trip. So for me in the last 4 years, I've earned around 4 million travel rewards points now.
It's impressive.
Yeah, thanks. And I'm not a high earner. I'm not a high spender. What I have been able to do is strategically layer and leverage those cards. Mm-hmm. So for context, that $25,000 trip that I told you about that my wife and I took to Europe, we spent about 1.1 million points for that trip. So essentially what that means is I only had to spend about a quarter of the points that I've earned for what for many people would be a once in a lifetime or never in my lifetime trip. So wow. There's all kinds of things like that, that are pretty cool. I think those are some of the most popular myths. If any of you as listeners are interested, one of the things I offer on my website is a free guide called The Skeptic's Guide to Travel Hacking, where I walk through some of the most common myths that people often believe or fear, and then spend some time myth busting those with actual facts and stories.
That's an exciting guide. I definitely recommend people to get that. And another one that I commonly hear is a conversation around the annual fee, right? Like I'm sure you've heard that the Chase Sapphire Preferred has one. We just got the Venture X sign-up bonus recently too. These cards, some of them aren't cheap. I think the Venture X is what, $395 or something that a year. What is your take on dealing with that kind of roadblock? I know these sign-up bonuses definitely can be more worth it than that fee, but especially how do you take on the annual fee?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think in a lot of ways, it really comes down to number one, an understanding of not every travel card does have an annual fee. There are actually a lot of really valuable ones that are no annual fee cards, but there are also essential ones that do have an annual fee. So the Chase Sapphire Preferred card, for instance, $95 on an annual basis. One of the many things that the Sapphire card does is the Sapphire card actually really transforms other cash back cards from Chase into travel rewards cards. So there are cards that only give you cash back if you don't have a Sapphire card. But if you're a Sapphire card holder, rather than just cashing out at a penny a piece for cash back, you can actually transfer those into your travel points ecosystem and be able to book that. First and foremost, even that transformative reality for the Sapphire is pretty valuable. But in general, if we're thinking big picture of annual fees, you really have to weigh the value of that card, the perks of that card versus the cost of that card. A number of cards will offer different travel perks. Some cards will get you free lounge access. Love lounges. Those have revolutionized the way I experience airports. It's great.
We just went to our first one coming back from New York.
And it was cool, wasn't it? Like game changer. Absolutely. So like with an airport lounge, that's a great example. So you might look at that and I'm guessing you got that with your Venture X, right? Okay. So $395 a year, you're paying for the annual fee. Well, here's what you're not paying for anymore. You're not paying for food in the airport anymore. And you're also not paying
quality food.
Absolutely. It's like fresh catered food, not like the microwaved stuff you get over the counter right next to the gate. So yeah, that's an incredible value. I'm paying for an annual fee, but I'm also not paying for airline food anymore. And for me, traveling with little kids, I'm also not, you know, having to deal with the chaos of like a congested airport. We get to go in a quiet, comfortable place in the airport lounge, which is priceless in one way. That's really helpful on the family travel stress side of things. But then there are all kinds of other perks. Some of them are travel perks. For instance, I have a card that gives me an annual free night at a particular hotel chain. There's an annual fee, but the fee I pay is about a third of the cost of one night at that hotel chain. Others have everyday perks like monthly DoorDash credits, free Dunkin' Donuts, Walmart Plus free delivery, Instacart, all kinds of just everyday perks that just make life a little bit easier, a little bit simpler, which is great. And so really what you've got to do is look at what is the value that I'm getting from this card versus the cost. I've had a couple where I chose either not to sign up for a card or not to keep a card because of the annual fee. For instance, for the Sapphire card, you got 100,000 points, which is worth, you know, anywhere from $1,500 to $3,000 in free travel. Well, you'd have to pay a lot of $95 annual fees to even come close to touching that value. Plus all of the ongoing points that you earn as well. Yeah, so that's kind of how I look at it. I'm not personally someone who really gets into the high-end premium cards. You know, there are some, like at the highest end of travel cards, people are paying like $695, $795, $895 for an annual fee. I think those make sense for pretty much exclusively high net worth individuals that really aren't trying to hack travel because they can't afford travel. For them, what they're trying to do is they're just trying to enhance their travel, and that premium card gives them the opportunity to do that.
The annual fee isn't something to be scared of. Maybe you don't sign up for a card that has the annual fee. That's totally an option, because like that Venture X, the other thing you can do is downgrade it when the cycle comes back around. You can potentially change the card to one of the free options or something like that if you're not going to use it, because when that card's annual fee is going to come back around, we're thinking through our plans next year and we're probably not going to fly as much next year. So maybe there wouldn't be as much benefit for that card. Maybe we look at changing it, or you could even close cards. Like that may be something that impacts your credit score, and there's things to learn about there. But if it's your most recent card, it's actually potentially going to increase your average credit history because you're getting rid of that shortest one. So there's a lot to learn about the different things you're juggling, and it's okay to make the decision you want to make. You decide, I just want to get rid of this card and get rid of this account right now because I have a headache from juggling so many different credit cards at once. Go for it. I think that's kind of the fun thing, is you can take the approach you want to take. You don't necessarily have to take this perfect 18 spreadsheet approach with a binder full of credit cards. You can do what you want. And for me, maybe that's not maximizing the points to the fullest. And for you, it is. And for someone, it's just the cashback cards. That's what's so fun about this space, is you can kind of do what you want. Was that Europe trip that you mentioned, was that the biggest trip that you've ever taken with credit card points?
So that one was, yeah, I would say Europe was unparalleled. We did 6 countries in 2 weeks. Wow. So we did the Netherlands, Germany, Poland, Czech Republic, Austria, Switzerland, all in a 2-week stretch. Stayed in some pretty luxurious places. Absolutely incredible what we were able to do. Some of the other trips we've taken, we've gone to Disney for free with our kids, which is great. We rented a 3-bedroom, 3-bathroom oceanfront beach condo in the summer to be able to enjoy the ocean for a week and even take some friends of ours with us, which was really great. There have been other times where I've found that the whole reason we got into this is for my family. Our reality before we got into travel hacking is I work in the nonprofit arena, particularly in poverty alleviation and community development work. Our family made an intentional decision to immerse ourselves in a community to pursue transformation with our friends. We barely made enough money to live on. We didn't make enough money to travel. And it felt like every year we were crushed under the weight of compassion fatigue from working in high trauma crisis scenarios. It's incredible to see hundreds of people that we've helped out of at-risk and crisis situations. The exhausting part of that was never really being able to travel in ways that was truly replenishing. We had to take the types of trips that left you more exhausted than when we left. We had to take the types of trips where it was like we had to beg and borrow just to get somebody to take pity on us to get a trip at all. Beyond the specifics of the trips we've taken, we've probably taken 12 to 15 trips in the last 4 years, which is pretty incredible. Some of those large, some of those small. But overall, I think there's just an overall freedom of free travel that we have. So now we have the opportunity to travel for pleasure. We have the opportunity to respond to needs and engage opportunity. And so I think there's even something in that, just the freedom that comes with knowing that you're not going to have to stress out about the cost of a trip after you get back. Yeah. You don't have to stress out and worry whether or not you're even going to be able to afford a trip this year. You really have the ability to engage travel however, wherever, and whenever you want, which is great.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. What a great place to leave that on. I want to encourage the listeners, think about what would it mean to you if you were able to go to, like, insert your dream destination here or a likely upcoming trip that you're planning to take. Maybe it's Disney with your family. What would it be like to take that trip and, like you said, come back without credit card debt, come back without like the stress of having to overpack your bags because you couldn't afford a checked bag because you didn't have a credit card that included that? Like, there's so many different things and fun perks that you can get from this space that just make it a more enjoyable trip. So that's a great place to leave it on there. Got 2 final questions for you here, Tim. First one will be, how can people connect with you? And then the second one will be, what's something you wish you knew at the very beginning or that you wish you knew sooner about travel hacking? But first, where can people connect with you?
Yeah, absolutely. You can find me online. So my business is Travel Multiplier. You can find it at travelmultiplier.com. I walk people who are interested in travel hacking, coach them from start to finish to do that as best as possible. You could go to the website. You can find me on Facebook, on Instagram as well. And so feel free even just to reach out to me directly. My email is tim@travelmultiplier.com. I love having conversations with people. If you'd be interested in hopping on a call, talking and learning more, I'd be happy to do that anytime.
And then what do you wish you would have known at the very beginning of this process?
Yeah, I think the thing I wish I would have known is it's way easier than you fear it's going to be at the beginning. I think I was in a point where I was highly skeptical. This sounded too good to be true. I didn't think it was going to work. But my desperation, based on my inability to travel, outweighed my skepticism. So I was willing to give it a shot, but I skeptically, slowly treaded into it, where I wish if I hadn't had that hesitation, if I had realized how easy it was, I can look back and see, oh man, I could have earned tens of thousands of more points had I not been so hesitant. There really is nothing to fear. It can be quick, easy, clear, simple, and empowering. It's an incredible opportunity that I'm really grateful for.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on. This has been a wonderful conversation.
Thanks for having me.
As we close out this episode and close out the interview, thank you so much to Tim for coming on this episode. That was a fantastic conversation. I needed to learn a little bit more about, and I'm excited to potentially talk about credit card or travel hacking in the future. I think it could be a fun topic to go down. Let me know if you're interested in this topic, and perhaps we could go through what travel hacking would look like for you on the podcast. Please take this one and discuss it with family, friends, and your money buddies, and go have a money talk. This last one that we're going to cover is travel hacking for everyone. Probably not, especially if you cannot handle credit cards. I don't want to put a blanket statement out there. I've been pretty careful to avoid those in my time on this podcast. Can travel hacking be for everyone? Certainly. Can everyone do it? Probably, but should you? Maybe not. If you're not good with credit cards, you know that this would be dangerous for you, then stay away from travel hacking. It's just not worth it. The points are not worth the interest rate. And I've also heard that there's studies out there that show that you spend more subconsciously on credit cards because it's not your money. And I could see this being true. It's easy to put all those purchases on a credit card and forget about it. I know my wife and I have fallen into that trap before. You don't actually know how much money you're spending on things, and that's why it can be important to review your expenses weekly, maybe bi-weekly, or every few days, whatever works for you. That's a good way to be careful with credit cards, regardless of whether you're travel hacking or not. Maybe you just like a good old cashback card because you want some money back on your spending, and there's nothing wrong with that. Now, you could also want to use these cards with annual fees and reward programs and all these different things to get more value on your travel. That's a great way to do it too. There's so many different options when it comes to any aspect of personal finances, but especially how you spend, whether it's with a credit card, a debit card, or gift cards for that matter, to make sure you don't go over a certain amount. That's a wrap on today's adventure into the world of travel hacking. We learned that you can turn everyday spending into free flights and free hotel stays, but it's also not quite as easy as waving your credit card like a magic wand at the airport. There are perks and pitfalls, and one unavoidable truth with credit cards: if you cannot handle them responsibly, those free trips are not worth it. Remember that interest rate is always going to be higher than the percent back you're getting on a credit card, no matter how optimized you use your points. Travel hacking isn't for everyone, but it's something that everyone can do. If you're willing to stay organized, do some planning, you can get on top of this travel hacking game. Of course, make sure to resist buying that 10th pair of shoes or whatever you're looking at in your Amazon cart right now just for points. Don't purchase things for points. Go grab a friend, start a money talk, and see if travel hacking could work for you. The points game and travel hacking is real, and the rewards of seeing the world can be truly epic. The points you earn are never worth the interest you pay. If you carry a balance, the points are not worth it. If you can't pay your credit cards off in full, travel hacking is a one-way ticket to debtville. But thank you for listening to today's episode. The best way to stay up to date and connected with all things Money Talk is to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for my email list. Head over to moneytalk.show and submit your name and email right there on the homepage. If you're looking to get started with budgeting, let me know and I'd love to work with you over on My Budget Coach, a platform that connects your budget directly to me, your financial coach. I'd love to work with you over there, and of course, the link is in the show notes. Remember, the best way to learn from today's episode is to go and have a money talk about today's topic with a fellow money buddy. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Money Talk. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk. This show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and may not be specific to your unique situation. Please be sure to do additional research before making any financial decisions.